This lovely Christmas hymn comes from a 2-CD set titled Lutheran Service Book Hymns and Services. We'll send you this resource of 26 hymns for any sized year-end donation to Issues Etc. You can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and mail it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible online contribution at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support at the end of 2012.
Faith teaches us that on this day, a child was born so that we might have eternal life.
From the moment of conception, you've got a human being, and that human being deserves legal protection. Unfortunately, that doesn't exist in the United States at the present time, and this is just damnable.
There's a kind of a Mary and a Martha story happening with us, and Advent puts us where Jesus says the good part is.
Glass and cloth, wood and stone will cry out to the next generation. This is what we have believed. This is Christ, our Savior, and yours.
Moms in Ohio love Issues, etc.
We like to hear from our listeners, and we often do here on Issues, etc. But we also like to take time to respond to our listeners, and that's something we're going to do here for the first few minutes of this Monday afternoon's Issues, etc. Respond to some comments from the Issues, etc. comment line. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for tuning us in. On this Monday afternoon, December the 17th, we'll also be studying the Advent hymn. It's a new one. It's called What Hope and Eden Prophesied, short and sweet, with its author, Pastor Stephen Starkey, a little bit later in the program. Dr. David Adams will join us. We'll be talking about, well, you probably read about this, some recent archaeological evidence for a cataclysmic flood from the same person who had a hand in discovering the sunken Titanic. He's been doing some research, I guess underwater research, in the Black Sea, and he believes he's found evidence of some kind of cataclysmic flood event connected, he believes, to the accounts of the biblical flood. We'll see what Dr. David Adams of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis has to say about that a little later in the program. And then we're going to do a sermon review. Because we have come off a weekend that began with the tragic shooting of so many there in Connecticut, we thought it would be appropriate to do a little sermon review. Sermon preached yesterday by Pastor Mark Lovett of Concordia Lutheran Church in Hoisington, Kansas, on the subject, not only that subject, but of course, the subject of what does all of this mean? Where is God? How do Christians cling to God's word in times that seem so completely dominated by the forces of evil, when the devil appears to be in charge of things? How do we explain it? If we can't explain it, how do we respond to it? That's coming up a little bit later on Issues, Etc. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours of the program. Our phone line, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC. We love our listeners, especially our on-demand listeners. We love them so much. They make up the bulk of those who listen to us. And for that reason, we keep the Issues, Etc. comment line open for them all the time. It's just a simple answering machine, but it serves the purpose of hearing their comments, recording it, so that we can respond on the air. 618-223-8382 is the Issues, Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8382. So let's begin with some thoughts on an apparent contradiction in the Bible.
Hi, it's Andy from Kirkwood, and of course I have friends who are not Christians who tell me that the Bible is contradictory, and since it's Advent, I thought we'd look at a contradiction in the Bible from Advent. When John the Baptist is asked, "Are you Elijah?" he responds emphatically, "No." When Jesus is talking to his disciples about John the Baptist, Jesus says that he is Elijah. So what do we make of that? Bye.
That is a great question. I think in all the times we've done apparent contradictions in the Bible. I don't know that that one's ever come up, and I'm glad that you pointed it out. First of all, we need to understand that for those who want to take Holy Scripture seriously, we always handle these things in a forthright and honest way. I am convinced that there may be problems in the Bible that we can't solve, okay? Apparent contradictions or things like that that we can't solve. But I'm also equally convinced that in the vast majority of the cases, virtually every case, a careful examination of the actual text, the texts that are sometimes pitted against one another in apparent contradictions, I think in almost every case that you've got a solid text to work with, the contradiction disappears. And this is a case, but you got to look carefully and you got to know where to look. So there's obviously some relationship between John the Baptist and the Old Testament figure Elijah. The first question we need to ask is, what does the Bible say? The Bible talks about, and here we go to Luke chapter 1. This is when the angel is speaking to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, and he's predicting what Zechariah's son will be like. It says he will turn the heart of many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him, that is the Lord their God, in the spirit and power of Elijah. So that's the first place you go to answer the question, what's the relationship between the Old Testament figure of Elijah and John the Baptist? So the angel says, and this is an authoritative word from God, that he will go before the Lord, preparing his way in the spirit and power of Elijah. He doesn't say that he is the man Elijah written about in the Old Testament. He doesn't say that, but he does say in the spirit and power of Elijah. But, you know, that doesn't let you off the hook because Andy pointed out so well, John, when asked the question, and this is John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, when asked the question, what then are you Elijah? He's asked that by the Pharisees. He said, I am not. And he, in fact, says it emphatically. He doesn't just say no. He says, I am not. He says he's not Elijah. So that's John's testimony. He's not Elijah. That's in the course of him denying that he's also the Christ. When people say, are you the Christ? Are you the prophet, the one that was prophesied to come like Moses? And he says, nope, I'm not him either. I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now, here's where the apparent contradiction comes in. There are two places. One is where Jesus is talking about John the Baptist after John the Baptist has sent his disciples to Jesus saying, are you the one or should we look for another? And Jesus answers saying, go tell John what you see. And then he speaks of John the Baptist to the crowds. And among other things, he says this, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. He's basically saying John is the end of the Old Testament. And he says, if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Now, just put a pin in that for a second. We're going to need to come back to that. Because elsewhere, and that is, this is right after the Transfiguration, the disciples have seen Jesus, Moses, and Elijah standing on the Mount of Transfiguration. They got Elijah on the brain. And the disciples ask Jesus, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first before the Messiah? And Jesus answered, Elijah does come, and he will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him. So there he is, and it says later they perceived that he was talking about John the Baptist. So what is Jesus? At one point, he says he is Elijah, and John says he isn't Elijah. There's your contradiction. The answer is in Jesus' words when he says, if you will accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He's making a distinction there between the guy who lived in the Old Testament and was a prophet then, and the one prophesied, that is, the coming Elijah. There was a first Elijah, Elijah of the Old Testament, and then there was the coming Elijah. And Jesus says most emphatically, that's who he is. He is the Elijah who is to come. Not the Elijah that was, but the Elijah who is to come. So when John says he isn't Elijah, he said, I'm not the Old Testament figure. Now, had they asked him, are you the Elijah who is to come? He would have had to have said, yes. So, contradiction eliminated.
This is Herman calling December 14th. And just as a notice to things ahead here. Apparently it's been released that the august and the infinitely solemnly wisdomed governor of Illinois hopes to have institutionalized, full-fledged equivalency of homosexual marriage in the new year. And you may want to take a look at that and what its implications are for Christians and churches and pastors and the family issue, and if churches and pastors are going to be forced to do homosexual marriages on pain of civil fines or prosecution for criminal activities if they don't. So just as a topic to look at coming up. Thank you very much.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. And remember, now the clock is ticking for everybody who wants to have their state-by-state way when it comes to same-sex marriage. The clock is ticking because the Supreme Court has decided to hear two cases. The Supreme Court of the United States has decided to hear two cases, which will either change nothing or change everything. The challenge to DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, which legally makes is the legal bulwark, the legal piece of law that stands against same-sex marriage federally. And then they've also agreed to hear the challenge to and a lower judge's decision on Proposition 8 from California, where the Californian voters voted overwhelmingly to not legalize same-sex marriage, and then their decision, the voters' decision in California, was overturned by courts. So they've agreed to hear both of these cases, which means, worst-case scenario, they could decide to accept the arguments of those who want same-sex marriage and say equal protection means everyone should have access to an institution called marriage, regardless of one's gender partners, choice of partner, which would mean overnight, instantaneously, we would have legalized same-sex marriage in the entire United States. All the laws that would stand against it would immediately fold. They could also do a lot of other things that would be less drastic, but the clock is ticking, isn't it? I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio. Sacred music for the Christmas season. Coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.